Well, these have been pleasant days for me, and it's been a real joy to be with you at 4th Street again. And I thank you very much for the way you've received me. You always do. You receive me with so much kindness and express appreciation for my work, and you encourage me, and I thank you very much for that. And I thank those of you who have had me in your home. It's been very pleasant, good meals, and pleasant associations. And I'm glad that I could be with some of you in those social settings. It's been such a joy. And I want to thank you for something. I think every Sunday during the pandemic that I have been with you, those who presided at the table gave us some time to meditate, think about our Lord. I was in a congregation some time back. I don't remember now where it was. It wasn't at Westview. And they had, I think, the very type of things that you used to have, a very thin thing that you opened to get the bread. And that wasn't easy for me. By the time I got my bread out, he was already leading thanks for the fruit of the vine. And that night, I just confessed to God I didn't worship during the Lord's Supper. And that was a hard confession to make. But it was true. But you give time. And that's what the Lord's Supper is all about. It's a time of meditation. A time of remembering our Lord. And letting the events of the cross go through our minds and to be thankful for that. Thank you, Brent. If I remember, Brian was one of those that when I was here. Brian went over there, I believe, and sat down over there. Gave us time. Thank you for that. I appreciate it. And thank you again for inviting me to come to be with you. You might want to turn to Matthew chapter 6. That'll get you ready for the first passage that we'll use. Back while I was sick with the virus, there was an expression that went through my mind over and over and over. And it's from the song, Great is Thy Faithfulness. And the expression is, all of my needs thy hand has provided. And I got to thinking, that's true. Everything I have ever needed in all of my lifetime, God has provided. I want to talk today about that. I want to talk about some areas where God has provided for all of my needs. It'll be the most personal sermon I ever preached. I'm not overly comfortable with that. But I hope every time I talk and use the term I hope you're thinking of yourself. Because I think I can say that if all of my needs have been provided, that all of your needs have been provided. Let's think about that today as we study together. First of all, I guess I would say that all of my material needs have been provided. I didn't say all my material wants, but all of my material needs have been provided by the Lord. Over 83 years, all of them have been provided. And that's what he promised to us. That's why I had you to turn to Matthew chapter 6. It's a rather lengthy reading, but one of the most beautiful readings in the scriptures. Start with verse 25. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you by worrying could add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. Your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That's a promise. It's a promise from God that if we'll seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, all these things, the necessities of life, will be given to us. Somebody may be thinking, well, you probably haven't been through hard times, though. Well, that's just not true. There were numbers of times when Charlotte and I had to tighten the old spending belt pretty tight. I hate to go into this, but I'm thinking about the spring, the fall of 1970. We were living so close that we didn't know whether we could spend anything for Christmas. And finally, Charlotte and I said, well, I tell you what, we'll spend 50 cents each on one another. And I remember I bought Charlotte a little Christmas candle. And every year, Charlotte would bring out that Christmas candle and use it for decoration. And over the last, I don't know, 6 or 7 years, it's had a permanent place on our coffee table. 50 years later, it's on that coffee table. Probably the most precious thing I ever gave to Charlotte for Christmas. But it came during hard times. Now, it may be that I've never known some of the hard times that some of you may have. I hear people and they lose their jobs and they don't know how they're going to feed their family. Or other people have very enormous debts, not because of any fault of their own, but because it may be of illness, hospital costs. And they have these enormous debts. And I know I've never been there. I admit that. But what a wonderful thing it is that all of my needs have been supplied, and apparently all of yours have been supplied because you're here. And somehow we're all eating, aren't we? What a wonderful thing. Well, let me mention a second thing. God has provided comfort for all of my griefs. And I think most of you know I've had some griefs. Many of you would not know we had a baby born that died right after birth. If that were to happen today, that baby would be taken care of and be healthy. We lost a baby. My son died at 34 years old, totally unexpectedly. I've lost my wife. But the wonderful thing is, God has provided for all that grief. And what he's done for me, he's done for you. You've experienced grief too. Turn to 2 Corinthians. I want to go to chapter 1. Second Corinthians 1, begin with verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. So in all of our times of grief, God comforts us. But as God comforts us, it provides a means by which we can comfort others. And I've experienced that, sometimes just by being present. I remember times when somebody would lose a son, and I would go to the visitation, and the first thing they would say is, "Oh, Bill, you have lost a son too." I would not have said a word, but just the fact that they knew that I had lost a son was comforting to them through the comfort that God had given me. There's considerable relationship even now that I feel with many people who have lost their companion after having served as a caregiver for their companion. And I just have a close relationship with many people that I did not have before. And it's come because we've all experienced the same thing. And God granted me comfort, and He granted them comfort, and then all of us comforting one another through the comfort which God had given to us. Isn't it a remarkable thing? And you look at a situation like that, and when your companion dies or you lose a son, you think, how can I manage? How am I? All of my needs, thy hand has provided. God does it for us. And I know I'm probably talking to many of you who have experienced very similar things to what I've experienced. All of my spiritual needs and eternal needs, God has provided. Man was in sin, lost, separated from God. And the sad thing is, man could do nothing about that on his own. And it wasn't just a few who had sinned, but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3, verse 23. And the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life. So here was man in sin, all had sinned, and all were destined to eternal death and couldn't do anything about it. All the good works a man might do could not take away one sin. All the animals he might sacrifice could not remove sin. It's impossible that the blood of bulls and goats could take away sin. We're told in Hebrews 10 verse 3. If man was to be reconciled to God, and that was mentioned in our prayer, which I appreciated very much. If man was going to be reconciled to God, God would have to provide the way. But all of our needs, God has provided. So God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And that Son was willing to come because He wanted to do the Father's will. He loved the Father. He loved us, and He was willing to come. The demands of justice had to be met. And the only one who could meet the demands of justice was our Lord. And God sent Him. He came willingly and died for us. And He met the demands of justice so that God could forgive us. Turn to Romans chapter 3. I'm going to read several verses here. Verse 23 of Romans 3 is the one that says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And let me be sure you understand, I'm among them for sure, and you are too. But now let's continue. Verse 24, being justified freely by His grace. What does it mean to be justified? Well, we were anything but just. Are we aware that the word just and righteous are basically the same word? We were not just. We were not righteous. But God justified us. He called us just. He considered us righteous. Not because we've been so righteous. We talked about that earlier. but because God's forgiven us. So, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation by his blood through faith to demonstrate his righteousness, because in his forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Does God justify us? Yes. How does he justify? Through his forgiveness. And he calls us righteous. Not because we've been just. Not because we've been righteous. But because he has justified us. He has proclaimed us righteous. He has forgiven us. On what basis? Jesus died for us. All of my needs, his hand has provided. And one day, I'm going to pass from this earth. I'm going to make a transition from this life into eternity. And I have no doubt when that time comes, God will provide for the need then. And it's not going to be long before that's going to happen for me. I know that by reason of years. But his hand will provide all that I need as I make that transition. Psalm 23, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's a pretty wonderful thing. All of my needs, thy hand has provided. Now, let me ask you this. That being true, what should grow out of that? One word. What should grow out of that for me when God has provided for every need that I have ever had? Should that not bring me to trust him? Have absolute trust in God. If he has provided every need through 83 years, can I not know that he will provide for every need from now on? Trust him and know that he'll do it. In nothing be anxious, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall guard your heart and lives in Christ Jesus. Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7. Why should I not trust him? Why should I be so anxious? If God has always provided for every need, why would I ever question that he will not supply whatever I need now and in the future? He provides for every need. All right, let's talk about it. What about my material needs? Can I trust him from this day forward to provide for my material needs? We'll turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, Paul is addressing those who are rich in this world's goods. And he says this to them. Verse 19 beginning. I'm sorry, verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share, storing up for themselves a good foundation for the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. Where is our trust to be? Even those who are rich. I wonder who would be considered rich back in those days. Where was their trust to be? He said, not in uncertain riches. That's one of the problems of putting our trust in riches. They're uncertain. Whereas God is certain. Don't put your trust in uncertain riches. Put your trust in the living God. Are we aware that we could lose everything we've got in a day? Couldn't we? Lose everything we have. I'm thankful to tell you, I have a house paid for. God has been good to me. And I have some savings. But is that where I'm to put my trust? I got no problems. Well, I've got some savings that they ought to be enough. They can be taken away from me in a day. If the time comes when our nation crumbles, and you wonder sometimes, could it happen in the lifetime of some of you? And if some other power takes control in our nation, what I own would be worthless. Do I need to worry? What did God promise? Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things, everything I need will be provided. And He's always provided everything, and we can trust Him. That's the point I'm making. I think one blessing, and I think all of us, if we look back on the pandemic, will know that there are certain blessings that have come during this pandemic. And one of them, and I'm thankful to God, is that He has taught me that my trust is to be in Him, not in my material possession. My trust is in Him, not in my government. That I'm to place my trust in Him. But how can I do that? All of my needs Thy hand hath provided. And if that's true over all of my lifetime, I don't believe I need to worry too much. My needs will be provided. Just as He's always provided for my grief. Do I need to worry about whether I'm going to be able to handle grief in the future? I'll be honest with you. I've wondered if word were to come to me that one of my grandchildren had been killed in a car wreck. After the other griefs that I've been through, and here's a sudden death of one of my grandchildren, I've wondered how would I be able to handle that? God would provide. That's the answer. He's always provided. And He would provide now. Whatever grief I may face, the same God who has provided for all of my needs in the past will provide now. If some major grief came into my life, trust Him. That's what we're talking about. Build trust. Trust in the fact that God has always done it and He always will do it. Trust Him. He's promised. What about forgiveness? How many times have I had to turn to God? After I obeyed the initial commandments of the gospel, I heard the gospel and believed it and repented and was baptized and God forgave all of my sins. But I wonder how many times I've had to turn to God and say, forgive me. And He's always forgiven. How do I know? He promised it. And He's always forgiven me. Then can I not trust Him in the future? That if I genuinely repent and turn to Him and say, forgive me, He'll forgive me. And trust Him. Let me talk about that just a minute. What time am I supposed to stop? I failed to ask that. What time do generally we get out? But I have known numbers of people who, after they had done everything that God would tell them to do in order to be saved, they still worried about their condition. I think of one person who was baptized again and again because somehow that person just had not quite come to feel the forgiveness. A woman wrote to my brother one time. She said, before I married, I committed fornication with a man. She said, the man with whom I committed fornication is the man who is now my husband. I never committed fornication with anybody else, and I've asked my husband to forgive me, and I've asked God to forgive me, but I just can't get rid of this guilt that I feel in my heart. If maybe I went before the church and just bared my soul to the whole church, I wonder if that would help me to somehow get rid of this guilt. So I made all this public, so I don't feel any hesitation to do it. I don't know what I would have written to that lady, but you know what Sewell wrote to her? We do not find the answer for our guilt feelings by looking for more and more things to do, but by trusting God. God said that if we would believe and be baptized, He would save us. God said it. Do you believe it? Trust Him. And that if we genuinely repented and made things right and sought His forgiveness, God will forgive us. He promised that. Trust Him. And just as He's always forgiven me, He will forgive me as long as I live. And as I've already said, when I come to the end, He'll take care of me then. He's my God. And all that I've ever needed, His hand has provided. I never had preached this before, but I must acknowledge to you, I find joy in talking about that. But there's some warnings that are needed. While God has provided or promised to provide all of our needs, there is one thing He has not promised. He has not promised that we can go out and live high and just put it all on a credit card, eating in restaurants that we cannot afford to eat in, and taking expensive vacations that we cannot afford to take, and we just keep on doing all of these things we want to do and enjoy doing and build up this great indebtedness on a credit card. And then when the day comes when we are brought to pay up, He'll just bail us out of all of our troubles. No, God hadn't promised that. And He expects us to live within what He provides. I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 4. We read this last night. Ephesians 4, look at verse 28. Let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. Three parts. Quit stealing. Go to work. But not only live within your means, but even if possible, save some for those who are in need. If anything says to me that God expects me to live within that which He provides for me, it's that verse. And God has not promised that you can just go out and live high and then He'll bail you out of trouble someday. He hasn't made that promise. Be careful. And He has not promised that He will provide help for your grief if you refuse to be comforted. Do you remember that expression? Do you remember Joseph's brothers? Sold Joseph. They took his coat of many colors and tore it and dipped it in blood and brought it to their father. And their father said, "He has been torn asunder by a beast." And he began to weep, and all others tried to comfort him, and he refused to be comforted. Now that statement is made, I think, to help us to see the degree of grief that Joseph had, or Jacob had. But today there are people who refuse to be comforted. Now, let me just say that I'm not unsympathetic. And I know all of us handle things in a different kind of a way. But all along you come across somebody and they've lost a companion or they've lost a child or whatever. And they just make up their minds almost. I will never be happy again. I'm never going to be comforted. I will be bitter. I'm going to blame God on it, and I will go to my death. God hadn't promised to comfort that person. And my friend, I don't know. I don't think I would be speaking to anybody in this audience that would take that position. But there's too much to live for. There are too many people who need us for us to get into our homes and shut the door and say, "I'm just going to sit here and feel sorry for myself, and I'm going to be filled with self-pity, and I'm not going to ever help anybody else. I'm not going to do anything else. I'm never going to be happy again." We don't act like that. Yes, it hurts. And yet, grief comes into our lives. But with God's help, that's what we're talking about today. All of my needs He has provided. With God's help, we look out and we see the need of this one and the need of this one and the need of this one, and we begin to reach out to their needs even though we're burdened with grief ourselves. And the more we reach out to others and help others, the more we begin to see that life is not just about me. Life is about others. And I'm going to reach out to others and help them. And God provides the means by which we can overcome our grief. Let me tell you something else. God has not promised forgiveness and eternal salvation to those who will not obey Him. He gave His Son to die for you. And His Son came willingly and died that the demands of justice might be met and that God might forgive us. And God does forgive us. But here's a person that hears the word of God, but he refuses to act upon it. He maybe even knows that it's truth, but he never comes to Christ in obedience to the gospel and still thinks maybe he has hope of heaven. God forgives those who obey. Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey Him. Hebrews 5 verses 7 and 8. And then if after we have obeyed the gospel, we just turn back into sin and don't repent, we just live our lives like we want to and think God is still going to forgive us? You remember the two ladders we looked at Friday night? No, He expects us to live for Him, devote ourselves into His service, strive for being everything we want to be. And then when we say forgive, He forgives, but He doesn't promise to forgive when people don't repent. All of my needs, Thy hand has provided. But He expects effort on our part. He expects us to do His will. He expects us to trust Him. And when we do, what a marvelous thing that God will provide for every need. Thank you for listening. I hope I've not been too personal. I don't know much other way to talk about this, but I hope it's been helpful to all of us to build a greater and greater trust in the Lord and to know that He will provide. If you're not a Christian, He will forgive you. You know He will because He said He would. If you'll obey Him and turn to Him and serve Him, He'll forgive you. And you can have a heavenly home to await the faithful. Will you come? We stand and sing.